Hello. Welcome to another episode of Black Girls Laughing. I'm Brittany.
I'm Bea. What the heck?
We bring the dope takes on current events. Welcome to the show.
What is up with you right now? You sound like a robot.
I got like real Stepford Wives on that.
Yeah, you did. Even your face.
Anyways, we're here. We're here to talk shit on the world.
Just gonna give y'all a warning. I'm at the end of a sinus infection, so if my voice cracks or my voice sounds weird, just pretend it's my sexy radio voice and I'm trying to seduce you through this podcast. Or I like take a weird breath and you can hear that my lungs are full of crap and it's hard to breathe. And, you know, we might have to pause here and there. Jordan might have to do a lot of cutting for me to cough just so I can talk normally.
But yeah, we're going to definitely edit out any, like, real gross things. So don't worry, listeners.
Yeah. So you'll hear pauses here and there. No, you won't. Jordan will do a great job of editing, but I'll be coughing. My voice will probably go in and out. It'll just add to the drama of our show this week.
The drama. We bring so much drama every week.
Oh, man.
I also want to just apologize to anyone that was trying to download our show on Thursday last week, our last episode, and they only got 3 minutes on iTunes. If you came back and you got the full show, hooray. If you didn't, please go back and listen to it because there is a full show. And shout out to the folks that when they saw the show wasn't on iTunes, they immediately went to SoundCloud and got their show. And I love you guys. You guys are true friends. You're true fans, A1 fans. I love y'all.
MVPs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had started it and I was like, the show was not that short. What is...
Yeah, no, it was only... Yeah. Well, you know, we moved to a new server, and there's a learning curve with new servers and new things, and, you know, I'm trying to support Black businesses, and sometimes they don't support you back, but we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out, and hopefully things will be fine.
Dear God.
How was your week, besides being so sick?
It was good. I've been really, really busy lately. Like, clearly this cold is evidence of me not taking care of myself, which I'll talk about more later. But I've been, like, overwhelmingly busy, like, up to my eyeballs, really struggling with how busy I am, actually. And really struggling with, like, people listening to me when I say that I'm really busy. And they're like, oh, yeah, everyone is. And I'm like, no, I'm really busy. So when you ask me for help, or you ask me to do something, or you ask me to do more than I already committed to doing, the answer is no. I'm telling you no. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it anymore. Like, I won't be on your other board. I'm not helping you do this. I'm not giving you free labor. I don't have time. I'm working 2 part-time jobs, which is nothing like working 1 full-time job, on top of also just trying to get, you know, do Black Girls Laughing and trying to do more writing about things that I actually enjoy instead of, you know, I don't dislike writing for marketing, but it's not like I have this overwhelming passion for, like, marketing jargon or, like, writing in that way. I like writing about myself and feelings and having it be okay with it just being, like, I really like this song, or I really like this show, or this is how I'm feeling today. So I recently applied to possibly write with an online magazine. I made it to the second round. We'll see how that goes. But that's something that, yeah, is another commitment, but it's one more thing I have on my plate that I actually want to do for me. It's not to serve anyone else. It's literally the most self-serving, especially like my initial intentions for doing it, really self-serving, but also because I like building community in that way and not just through marketing. So dealing with that, dealing with really weird things with a good friend right now, which sucks. Yeah, that just happened Monday. I don't want to go in the full details. I'll just say one of us likes the other as more than a friend. And it's not me.
You're always in that situation.
Why? But the thing is, I was texting Matt. You met Matt. And I was like, why am I oblivious to when people like me? I'm like, there are signs when someone likes you. So why I'm like.
Do you just like second guess them? Because I know that's something that I would always do when someone would like me. I'd be like, no, I'm just making that up in my head. And then just sort of like move away from it. And then it would come up like, nah, I do really like you. Why are you acting like that's not a truth? You know?
I guess kind of that. Usually when it comes to friends, which I've normally liked people that became my really good friend first, or like we started off really slow, so we were friends first before we dated, and I always end up like, if I have a crush and like don't do anything about it, it's always on friends. And it's usually not reciprocal when it's like a crush on a friend. So I never think of the opposite, but I also like generally never think that people like me in a romantic sense. Like, I won't know you like me unless you say, I like you. And even then I'll be like, ooh, are you sure? You might not like me tomorrow, which is something I'm working through in therapy.
Yeah, that's like a combination of like self-esteem, like your general self-esteem for yourself. And I think everyone has that. I think you're definitely not alone. People don't know when people like them.
Yeah. Or like I would just never assume that anyone romantically likes me. Which is
like
weird.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, which is weird, because also on the other hand, I'm like, why not? I have, like, the most bomb personality to go with, like, my cuteness and my great hair. So, like, why wouldn't you like me? I'm, like, a 20 out of 10 personality-wise, and then my looks just, like, take it to the next level. It took me forever to be able to say that. And funny enough, I actually went on a date Saturday.
Okay.
And said to the person I went on a date with before we even went on a date that I'm a 20 out of 10 personality-wise and my looks just take it over the top. And at the end of the date, he was like, you were right. And I was like,
that's great.
I was like, I know I am. Have you met me? But anyway, that's my drama for the week. My drama for the week. How are you?
Oh, I'm good today. I haven't been good. Been like, depression, anxiety has been on 10, like, really bad, like, to the point of like having some panic attacks. But I'm dealing with it, and I'm, like, really trying to work with it. I've been, I had my second therapy appointment, and it went really, it went well. I've been hitting the goals that they've been, that my therapist has been giving me. She gave me a goal of, like, at our first appointment of, I have no friends. I live in Colorado Springs and I don't have like a really good support network. And that's been taking a toll on me emotionally. I don't have like an outlet to just sort of like let all the shit out, like in that like girlfriends type way. I'm a part of this MS group, and she gave me the goal of like make a friend of someone at the MS group. I didn't really do that because like they want to use me for like my marketing skills, so I don't want to be friend. Like, aww. I don't know if I want to, and that's fine. Like, I'm okay with like helping supporting that group, and we can grow a friendship through that work. But if we're gonna go that route, let's go that route first, and then we'll start a friendship. But I've mentioned this before that I've been sort of like creepy on Instagram. Not creepy. I've been like talking to people on Instagram, and like I met this girl like a month or even more ago, like before I got real sick. I was talking to this girl through Unlikely Hikers, which is a Instagram that I follow. I mean, they were like doing like roll call, and we found out that we're both in Colorado Springs, and we started messaging each other, and we finally went on a hike with each other on Sunday.
Yay!
Which was like super cool. She is a person of color. She's Chicano, and we talked a lot about white people in Colorado Springs. She's like from the she is ex-army and her husband's army, and so like we talked a lot of shit about army wives, and we just like had a really nice time. She's got two kids, which I'm excited to like meet her kids in the future and like hang out with all of them. But yeah, it was just nice to meet a person and just hang out with them, and like we have nothing about like work or shit like that to talk about. And we're just literally just trying to figure out common ground. And so, like, we talked a lot of, like, I ended up talking a lot about, talked a lot about religion. Like, she grew up Catholic, and she's a grandmother who's a Jehovah's Witness. And if you guys don't know, I come from a background of Jehovah's Witnesses. And so we talked a lot about that. It was just cool. We got lost for a bit, but I didn't freak out. We got lost. We just solved the problem and got us back on the trail. But like, yeah, it was just like a really good time. And it was, it helped my soul to hang out with someone, and just sort of like do something independently on my own. Like, we went on a 7 a.m. hike on a Sunday. I don't do shit like that. I mean, I get up early, but I don't do shit when I get up early. I just like get up and like look at my phone. Like, I got up and drove to a park and hiked for 3 hours. So yeah. And then like I've been having like weird things where I've been really doubting myself at work, and I think it's a mixture with the anxiety and the depression. Definitely goes with my diagnosis of having multiple sclerosis. I've been just questioning everything since that. But like, it's come to the point where I've been like thinking I'm bad at my job. I gave myself a panic attack thinking I was gonna get fired on Monday. And it literally, I don't, and like, there's no evidence of that. But like, because of like little things that I know that I'm not like 100% on my game, I'm thinking everyone knows that I'm not 100% on my game. But you, like, which isn't the, like, one, everyone's, like, most people are not on their game 100%. Sometimes, like, things are always slipping because we all, like, especially in certain offices, you always have too much on your plate. And so because of that, in my perception that everyone else in my office is perfect, I've just made shit so much worse. And so like I went like, I had my panic attack, and, like, I did not want to go into work on Monday, and then I went into my one-on-one, and it was just, like, business as usual, you're great, I love how you're doing things, all that stuff, but still, I'm like, I'm not doing things right, I'm the worst. So that's what I'm working on with my therapist. I'm trying to change that bad talk. And I made a really big breakthrough in therapy that I will talk about in my section today.
I'm excited.
Yeah. So let's do the friggin' John. Let's stop being in our feelings and let's shit on the world, okay?
The world puts me in my feelings.
Let's start with happy news. The Emmys happened. And my absolute fave, someone that we've been standing for this entire year, Donald Glover, won.
Okay, wait.
Not won.
I don't not stand Donald Glover. I'm a fan. A stan.
Okay, I stand for Donald Glover. He is on my, you know, freebie would list leave. With yeah. my partner. Like,
would hang out with.
I had a straight up dream that Donald Glover told me that he was in love with me. And I was like, but I'm married. And he's like, it's okay, we'll figure it out, boo. And I was like, all right.
See, you're a stan. You are, like, I'm a fan. You're a stan. I love him.
Well, anyway, because he's got all the damn talent. And that was proven this with the Emmys, with him winning not just Best Actor in a Comedy, but also Best Director for Comedy, which is huge. Like, a black person hasn't, like, won that in forever, I think, on both accords. But yeah, double Emmying it up. And then Lena Waithe, who wrote the best episode of television all year, won for writing her in the show Master of None, writing the Thanksgiving episode, which was the story of her coming out, and it was just like the best episode ever, featuring Angela Bassett in it as her mother. It was so freaking good. And she won, and she's the first black woman, or even, I think it's even first black person, to win a comedy, best comedy writing Emmy. Too many firsts. And that's been, like, the big conversation after the Emmys, is like, how is it 2017 and we're still getting all these firsts still?
Yeah. Good question.
Here we are.
Good. That's a good... I'll jot that down real quick.
Right? Like, why? and who else... What else won? I mean, those are the main ones. Are the ones that counted to me. I don't even watch these other shows, so I really don't know, like, who these people are. But, yeah, other people won stuff. Yes, Sterling Brown. He won Best Actor in a Drama Series. The first time a black actor has won that in 18 years. 18 years. I can't even guess what that show was. Like, was it for, like, ER or something? Like, what the hell? 18 years ago?
Yeah, I didn't watch the Emmys. I really only went back to, like, look at the pictures and see who was holding what so I could be like, yeah! And that was it. I saw Riz Ahmed won. He's the first South Asian man to win an Emmy for his acting. And
what?
In The Night Of, apparently on HBO. I don't know. He's fine. So he literally could have won for, like, tap dancing for 2 seconds on a show. And I would have been like, I'd have gave him the Emmy too, girl.
Oh, no, he is fine.
He's so fine. He is beautiful.
What is The Night Of?
I don't... TV shows? Me?
I mean,
can't relate.
It must be like a series, like because he didn't win it for best actor in a drama or best actor in a comedy, because so it must be like one of those like limited series.
I guess. Listen, well, again, he could have tap danced for 2 seconds in front of a camera, and I would have also nominated and gave him the award. And I saw the picture of all the people of color with their Emmys at the Emmys, so that was cool.
Can I just pause for a second?
Yeah.
I got a new computer, new MacBook Pro, mm-hmm. and I have an iPhone. I like looked at Chrome on my iPhone and it popped up on my computer. Mm-hmm. Is that a normal thing? Did that like
I don't have Chrome on my phone, but I know that's a normal thing.
Like I keep on like I like my phone went on and it like anyways, I'm just like amazed. Like I'm just shocked.
Technology.
Oh no, it's taking what I was looking on. I'm like looking at the D challenge on my Twitter app, and it just is putting that up, put it up on here as a web page.
Like yeah, that's scary. Because Google's tracking your whole life.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that at all. How do I fix that? How do I get them not to be tracking me like that? I can't. I gotta just quit. You're right.
Yeah.
I have to move to a different planet. Okay. Let's find it. Don't tell the white people.
What did we just talk about? We all know I'm not telling white people nothing. I don't even tell them hello anymore, so.
Nah.
If I didn't know you 2 years ago, I don't know you.
Oh, offline, off this, I gotta tell you about the book club we had at work.
Oh, God.
It ain't that bad, but it was still just... I gotta talk to a black person about it.
Oh, God.
Okay. That was the Emmys. Let's move on to... What other bullshit do we want to talk about?
Oh, I put take a knee, parentheses, aka take these nuts. Because listen, everyone's excited that everyone's doing this now. And everyone's doing it like it's the next social media challenge.
Is everyone doing it like it's the next social media challenge?
That's how I'm taking it, because everyone's doing it against Donald Trump, and that's not how this was started.
Tell them.
This was started by a black man for black people, and he got blackballed from his job for doing it for black people. Mm-hmm. And now... And this is why I say it's the next social media challenge, because white people co-opted it, and now it's, quote, against Donald Trump, and that's not what the fuck it was for.
Donald Trump co-opted it first by even opening his mouth and talking about it in a rally.
You don't see black people any other time. Why do you see this black person this one time doing something?
He indicted the entire NFL, and then what I really hated about what he said was like he was telling the owners, go get your black boys on the field and tell them what's what. Like this whole like you should be fired if you protest, that you don't have a voice if you're on the job. And these white people have been, like, running with this. They really don't want to have rights anymore. Because, like, as you take away these rights from other people, it's going to come to you next, right? You don't, like, it's still rights. It's still, like, your right to free speech. Everyone has a right to free speech. Well, clearly not.
No.
People of color do not have a right to free speech. Not white when supremacists. White people have paid their money to watch them throw the ball. And that's been, like, the number one thing I've been seeing all over the place is, like, I came to watch people throw the ball, not to see your protests. What the hell were you doing during the national anthem during the football games? Because I doubt you were actually paying attention. Most people don't pay attention. You were getting your ass another beer. You're scratching your balls. You're just laying down. Like, you don't care about the anthem. You don't really care about the flag. If you cared about the flag, would you be wearing it? Would you have a American flag bikini or t-shirt? Would you have it displayed on your car? These are all things that if you, like, look into how you're supposed to treat the flag, you're not supposed to do shit like that. That's not honoring your flag. Stop putting the American flag
on your vagina. Putting, like, the flag on your vagina is not honoring the flag.
So, like, get up on all of them. And people, and, like, the other thing, it's like, it's not pop, your protest isn't popular, so don't do it. When has a protest ever been popular? Tell me a time when the protest was popular. Because I know when everyone's favorite person to bring up when they're talking about how black people should act, MLK, when Martin Luther King did the I Have a Dream speech, I know that 65% of Americans thought that that was unfavorable.
You know, protesting in the streets, they don't like it. Protesting quietly, they don't like it.
No.
They don't, they just don't like black people.
I mean, the ways to protest for white people is to, well, when you can't say black people, you can't say white people when you protest. If you're going to be, like, good to white people in your protest, you're not going to say black people, you're not going to say white people, you're not going to talk about, like, any type of inequality. You're not going to do it outside. And preferably you'll be dead for them as you do it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just
So I'm over it. I don't support hashtag take a knee, which is why I put hashtag, well, parentheses, take these nuts, because I don't really give a shit what y'all are taking a knee for.
And we need to stop congratulating these owners. These owners still haven't hired Colin Kaepernick. So if they haven't let him come back, they've done not a damn thing. They've just given a middle finger to Trump. And, like, that's cute and all. And I will TT about that for about a half a second. The thing that's been really pissing me off is that this has taken over the news cycle. Like, I will watch the news and they will talk about all the terrible things that are happening in the world. And, like, the, you know, like, in, like, the pre-show, like, here's what we're going to talk about. Korea, Puerto Rico, climate change. But first, the NFL and Trump. I don't give a damn anymore. And then he keeps on, and then Trump has continued to say more and more and more. Because, like, he did that, he talked about the NFL. And then he turned around and talked about Steph Curry? Uninviting him to the White House when he already had said, I don't want to go to the White House? Again, stoking the racial flames. Because that is who he is. As my favorite Larry O'Donnell says, he is the divider in chief. And that's who he is. Couldn't even with all that racial shit that he had to say, all that bullshit that he did, he still couldn't even win that seat for that guy. Dr. Strange or whatever his name is. Ed Strange. His name is actually Strange, the guy that was up for the runoff in Alabama for the to be the Republican nominee for the Senate seat that Jeff Sessions left when he became Attorney General. You know who he's who they're going to be running against, though? You know, want to know who the Democratic candidate is? He's a guy that prosecuted the Ku Klux Klan during after the girls were killed at the
church bombing.
At the church bombing, yeah, that's one of his legacy moments. But they're going to pick the racist.
Duh.
We know that. We know what's going to happen in December.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. I will be shocked as hell if a seat in Alabama turns blue. But a Senate seat. That would just be crazy. But anyways, are we done about the knee? Got any other points? Let's talk about Puerto Rico. What everyone should have been like. We just did what the news has been doing.
Yeah.
Do you think 45 knows that Puerto Rico is a part of the United States?
No. Yeah. Same. I know he doesn't know that, because I saw people talking about how Trump left Puerto Rico with $33 billion debt. And someone said, what are you talking about? Trump and the president of Puerto Rico are good friends.
The president? They're the same person.
I know that. And then that person proceeded to get roasted alive on Twitter. Roasted alive.
Yeah.
Set on fire. Just burnt.
Definitely.
Barbecue crisp. You can't even eat, like, around the burnt parts. They got fried so bad. And I was like, this is the only funny thing that's coming out of this. And it's funny in, like, a sad way. It's funny, like, laughing at a funeral because you're really so uncomfortable that your body's natural reaction is, like, fight or flight, self-preservation. I'm going to release endorphins that make you happy, and you're going to awkwardly laugh.
Has he even said anything about Puerto Rico?
He talked about their debt. He talked about Puerto Rico's debt.
That's what Trump talked about?
He
just
talked
the debt?
About how Houston and Florida will bounce back, but Puerto Rico's debt. And I only got this from screenshots of people screenshotting his tweets, because, as we know, I blocked him on Twitter over a year ago now. So I can't ever see anything firsthand. But yeah, that's what he talked about.
Yeah. Our hearts and prayers are with the people of Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands.
And my money.
Like, let's get some money down there. Let's help them. They have no... They've, like, the power grid is gone in Puerto Rico. There's no power. Like, people are waiting in line for hours for a bag of ice.
They don't have water.
There are only 10 flights going out of Puerto Rico every day. And I'm tired of the media only talking about... The only Americans there are the white, you know, travelers in that. Like, oh, these Americans, and they only pan to white people desperately trying to get out of Puerto Rico. Not like the entire fucking island is Americans.
It's not. We just colonized and stole from them, but they don't get to be Americans.
I'm just like the arm, like, let's help these people. And Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands are a part of the United States. It just shows that nasty remnants of, well, they're a colony. They're not real.
in the eyes of so many. Because it's not getting the news. I mean, I can tell you who will talk about Puerto Rico on who are journalists. And they're the only ones that, like, actually have a heart. Everyone else is too worried about the NFL and Trump to talk about the real news. The news that could, if you could tell us what's going on, maybe people could mobilize and start helping.
Yeah, all he's talked about is the debt.
Well, the debt's only there because of what America has done to them. Because of the haven that we've created for people to just literally pillage. For corporations to pillage Puerto Rico for all of its goods. I mean, that's why people have been fleeing it. I mean, Lin-Manuel Miranda's been telling us to care about Puerto Rico before this even happened. Because of what we've been doing. But because of the policies that are there. They don't have a vote.
But
they don't have a vote in Congress. Do they even have electoral college? Like, I know that they vote in national elections, but do they really get counted?
I doubt it.
It's just so sad. And I hope people are able to rebuild, and I hope people are able to say that. But the other problem is, like, can we actually talk about climate change?
No.
Because that's the reason. I mean, like,
how dare you?
The United States and China and all the other industrialized countries, we made Hurricane Maria happen. We made all three of these terrible things happen. Harvey, Irma, Maria are all because of global warming. We would not have that many three category five hurricanes without global warming. So can we have that conversation? The people of Barbuda, the Prime Minister of Barbuda went in front of the General Assembly of the United Nations and said, this is your fault. What are y'all going to freaking do about this?
Nothing.
I mean, we have the Paris Accords or whatever.
Nothing.
You know, that we dropped out of.
Yeah.
So, because climate change is, you know, not science and just politicized and blah, 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 bullshit. I don't even, like, it's so, like, what is the fund? I don't even know what the fund is to give to Puerto Rico.
Do you know? Funds to give to Puerto Rico?
Like, how do people give to Puerto Rico?
I can send you a list. I have a really good friend whose family, he's born and raised in Puerto Rico. So anything I can give directly to them. And I have another friend whose family is also raising money, so I can also send you those links so you know.
Yeah, and I know all of the, like, I have friends that are from Puerto Rico, and I have, and, like, they all have those funds that they've made, but there's, like, no, like, where's the
fund? I saw a few lists of, like, if you don't know who to give to, here's who you should really give to. So I can send you that link at the end of this. Just remind me.
Great, and we should share that with everyone. Yeah, we'll share that with y'all,
tweet
too.
Tweet it out. And I'm even going to throw in the links that my friends gave me to give to their families because, I mean, knowing and seeing the faces of what I'm giving to is important, and also supporting Puerto Ricans as a whole, but, like, knowing that I'm, what is it, a 1 degree of separation from these people. And knowing that I can give to support my family. My friend is my family, so support my family's family is very important to me.
Yeah. And, you know, these NGOs have been effing up all the time when it comes to crisis relief, so it's better to give as locally as possible Like, I gave $0 to the Red Cross.
Who?
But I gave a lot of money to the Harvey Fund and to other smaller funds on the ground to the people. All right. Let's move to just like basic bullshit. And actually, everything else is kind of fine on our list. So Kardashians times two are pregnant.
You can talk about this because
I mean I don't know. I'm just, that's it. That's all I have to say about it. Kylie Jenner is pregnant. She's 20.
You know what scares me?
What scares you?
These cultural appropriating hoes raising black children.
Oh, yes. Oh, the most scary.
Like, everyone's like, oh my God, they're pregnant. Oh my God, let's talk about who they're pregnant by. And all I can think of is these black children.
Mm-hmm.
Are going to be raised by people who think they invented cornrows and name them boxer braids. What? I hope I'm dead.
It's okay. It's all burning down anyway. They're going to be dead. Like, these children aren't going to see their 13th birthday. The world's going to be over by then. Like... But yeah, they're pregnant. I figured out who Travis Scott was through the pregnancy of Kylie Jenner. I was like, oh, that Goosebumps song. That's cool.
Yeah. Brittany knows more than I do.
And I was like, oh, Chloe's mare is pregnant by the guy from the Cavs. Oh, yeah, that was like a big deal during the NBA finals, the Kardashians showing up at the games.
Okay. I mean, he's cute.
I remember that.
I'll give Chloe that one. That, what's his name? Tristan Thompson.
Tristan Thompson.
He's got a really nice smile.
Oh, he's beautiful.
Yeah.
Travis Scott. Nah.
I don't know who that looks like. I don't know.
I mean that his.
I'll click the link.
Click the link. You'll see him.
I mean, Tyga is not attractive.
Tyga was very not attractive. Definitely just has that, like, it's just not a look that is for me. It's definitely for that other generation. Like, that is the look that they look for. You see him with his plaits.
Oh my God, they used an awful picture of her too.
Yeah, they did.
Yikes. It's fucking... I'm sorry.
And all I want to say to Kylie out, is you know your new baby is not going to have your new face.
Because her fake upper lip disappeared, but her fake bottom lip stayed. And it looks... If ants had human faces...
Is so bee stung already that it looks like she's deep into her pregnancy, but it's just all the collagen and all the other bullshit that she's looks put like into her face,
like from A Bug's Life. That's why I'm sitting here cracking up. She rude. Looks like she's from like A Bug's Life. Like, her like sucked in her upper lip. I can't look at this picture anymore. Because I'm just going to roast her. I'm going to be like, what's a check it? Let's roast Kylie Jenner.
Well, Chloe looks good, though. Good for Chloe. Chloe's been looking nice. Good for you. You have your baby. I'm rooting for your baby.
I'm not.
Not rooting for anyone's baby.
Her mouth, I mean, even, the way she talks, makes her
Kim, they have a
another baby on the way through a surrogate.
Yeah.
So there's three new black children to be terrorized by the Kardashians.
Terrifying. Terrifying.
But shout out to Kanye looking healthy.
Yeah. Listen, all you fat phobic nasties.
Oh, yeah. They can all go to hell.
That man probably was not eating, was only drinking, was only abusing his body as he was struggling with his mental illnesses.
I mean, and he's probably back on his medication.
Which makes you gain weight.
You blow up. Like, we should always be looking for thick Kanye. Thick Kanye is happy Kanye. And he looked happy in these pictures. He had a smile. When was the last time you saw Kanye smile?
Yeah,
y'all like years. Like 2015.
Fat-phobic like, come on. Weirdos. Get out of my face. And like, or suddenly it's okay for people to be thick now. I've been on the thick train since 1991.
Since 1991.
Get away from me.
Yeah. I mean, we've been seeing all of that, though, from Beyonce titties to Rihanna's titties and everyone acting like she got, like, well, what, like, when Rihanna isn't really, like,
she's still tiny.
Thicker from before, but she's still thin as shit if you saw her in real life. Like, come on. But, anyways. But yay for Kanye looking good. Hopefully we'll get some music soon. Hopefully we'll... Or not. Just be happy. Just, like, raise your kids and shit. Like, maybe, like, just, you know, just fade into black. And, like, you know, I'm not doing this anymore. Because you've already done amazing stuff. You'll live forever in the zeitgeist of popular music. Like, he can just take a pause. Continue that pause. Never come back. And that will be fine. We got a lot of great music out of you. Be healthy. I would rather see you be healthy.
Same. Honestly, also, if he came back, I'd probably prefer him as a producer for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, you know, rapping. Like, help Kid Cudi with his stuff, because he's coming back strong and beautiful and... Man, I've always loved me some Kid Cudi, so it's, like, so great and wonderful to see. As someone who has always loved Kanye, but distinctly remembers getting in conversations with people, being like, well, I pick Kid Cudi over Kanye any day. And I think that's because Kid Cudi was rapping about things that I was going through so very openly, at the time where I personally wasn't finding other people rapping about that. So, like, Man on the Moon will always, like, top 10 albums of all time ever for me. Mm-hmm. And it's great to see him coming back. And it's even more beautiful to see other rappers getting interviewed. And so many of them are mentioning Kid Cudi.
And well, I mean, so many of the newer rappers, they were clearly influenced by Kid Cudi because all of their stuff is like very much about mental health, going there, about you know, like even being like very truthful about suicidal thoughts that I've never seen before. Kid Cudi, like truthfulness, like that, and so they've definitely have come off of that wave.
And I agree, and I say that, and I'm even more excited that people are talking about him, because I also remember a point in time where Kid Cudi and Wiz Khalifa were very much on the same trajectory, and it was like a battle between which post-industrial small metropolis rapper is going to become the popular rapper out of these two. And Wiz Khalifa came out with Black and Yellow and like skyrocketed. And I was always just like, Wiz Khalifa who, like, Kid Cudi, Kid Cudi, Kid Cudi, Kid Cudi, Kid Cudi. So, yeah. All right. That's my nostalgia and my love for Cudi moment. And we love Thick Yee. We love Thick Yee. Looking like a snack, eating the snacks, happy as a snack.
Just looking like a nice daddy.
Yeah. Yeah, wait. Why is it okay for Leonardo DiCaprio to have dad bod?
Racism. because I don't consider black men as fathers. So how can you have dad bod if we don't consider you to be a father? Like,
ew, why do you have to say that? Now I feel itchy.
I'm sorry, I went into the white mind and I told you what they're thinking. And like that is why.
I'm itchy now. In my heart. These is red bottoms. I don't dance now. I make money moves.
Yeah. Congratulations to Cardi B.
If I see you and I don't speak, that means I don't fuck with you. Congrats, Cardi B. That's awesome. You dethroned Satan, the snake. I love you. You're funny. You're wild to watch on any form of social media or television. I don't know how you keep your boobs in any clothing you wear. Like, I really don't understand how I have not seen your whole nipple.
How have you not? That's easy to find.
I don't be looking for it, but like when I see
them, I've just run into it, like when her titties. I've
seen things like her on things. I have yet to see her nipple, and every time I'm like watching for it.
But
I know
where it is. I can tell where it is because it's so low.
Tell where it is, but I'm just like, how has it not come out yet?
Yeah, she got a, you know, number one on the Billboard charts, dethroning T-Swiftie, which is great. People have been really congratulating her. Actually, Taylor Swift sent her flowers in that, you know, mean girl type of way. Because you know she said some terrible things when she got that news.
She's some Gretchen Wieners, Regina George, none for you, Glenn Coco, three for Gretchen Wieners type shit.
Yep.
Nasty ass.
That was the opposite, though. It was three for Glenn Coco, none for you, Gretchen Wieners.
Whatever.
You go, yeah. You go, Glenn Coco.
I'm on cold medicine still. I don't know half the stuff I've been saying.
But we do have to say something. Cardi B did mess up this past week.
Yep.
And she went on Twitter in her happiness of her, in the high of her being number one, and wanted to comment on 45 talking about football players and not talking about North Korea or concentrating on that, and was just straight up racist in it. In that way that people are racist towards Asians, and that, like, instead of saying your name, I'm going to mix it with, like, food. And then had the nerve when one of her fans tried to correct her and be like, yo, that's not right, you know, apologize. She just decided to double down on her bullshit. Even went to the point of saying, people been calling me Platano because she's half Dominican all my life, and I don't say anything about that. Like, who cares? Like, when you, and she's been problematic anyways in her, she's problematic in her you know, not claiming her blackness or Trinidadianness, not being very, being, you know, anti-black in many ways. And you can't deny that the reason why she's been put on the way that she's been put on is because she's lighter.
Girl, we got the same color.
Like, if she looked like, I mean, let's look at her counterpart. I think it's her exact counterpart of Azalea Banks.
No. Azalea Banks buried herself.
And she's doing the same. She will do the same. Or she'll get a pass for what she's saying. Be like, it made a big deal, but like, we're still, she's just, this isn't going to be a problem. Her future things of saying is going to probably not be an issue either.
I think she's problematic. I don't love her. I enjoy the song sometimes. Full disclosure, I'm sick of hearing it. I'd be okay to never hear it again.
I mean, for it to be number one, you have to be sick of it. Like Despacito.
I would be surprised if she has the wherewithal to type some of the shit that Azalea Banks did.
We'll see. I mean, hopefully she'll get some media training. She needs to get some kind of training. Someone needs to talk to her. Like, okay, all right, because now you're in the big times now. You got a number one song. Now, do you want a number two number one song? Do you want to continue on this path of success?
You need a Nicki Minaj grind, this shit.
And she's, or are you gonna crash it with your personality?
Nicki Minaj this shit.
Because like people, I mean, and that just sucks. Because like we have to be like, you know, on our P's and Q's. You're a person of color. You gotta be on your P's and Q's. You're gonna try to be famous. You're trying to be, especially as a woman too. You know, black and rap.
A previous stripper.
And yeah, I mean,
people are gonna be coming for you left, right,
left and right,
down, sideways, backwards.
But I love I've enjoyed her sex positivity, her like, you know, really saying that, like really being honest about being a stripper, the power of women, not being afraid of talking about the power that women have, like, and holding on and trying to claim that power, not just being used by what we supply to heterosexual men.
That's the first thing I saw her in, was like a reminder of like, strippers wouldn't exist if people didn't want them.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically hetero men. If there wasn't a demand, there wouldn't be a need to supply. So
exactly. And you know, that was very interesting. I watched one video and she was sort of like explaining what it takes to be with her, and it's like, well, I'm gonna need certain things from you. Or if you're gonna be serious about me, also then we're gonna go on a shopping trip. That's our first date, right? That's being serious with me. And I was like, damn. Let me take a note.
Let me jot that down right quick.
Shopping trip. Shit. What if I said that back in the day on OkCupid? First date is a shopping trip.
Or else.
Or nothing.
You phony. If you and ain't just a
like,
fake, you
know, not afraid to be like, yeah, if you do that, I will not have a problem throwing you some pussy after, like, I got what I want, you got what you want, here we go. Like, anyways, Cardi B, congratulations. It's the first time a woman has had a number one rap record on the Billboard chart solo since Lauryn Hill, because women always have to have some dudes on the track for their song to rise.
Not this time.
I mean, women came hard to love that song. I mean, it is an anthem for chicks
just an anthem.
Yeah, it is.
Like, it is the anthem.
As we've seen on the internet.
Yes.
I will tweet this video of this girl just going off all in her boyfriend's face. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable.
But it's hilarious. It's
hilarious. She snatched his drink. She put down her drink. She squoze his face. Fingers were... Look, this finger attached to his flesh in his face. I have been howling. I love it. I don't care what anyone else thinks. She was going... You can feel her saying the lyrics. You can feel the energy. It's a 10 out of 10 performance. And I'm listening to it now and watching it in my headphones as I talk about it. Because... His whole life just got snatched. Okay. Moving on.
What else we got?
So Jay-Z. Jay-Z's that dude. 444. 3/4 for ya. Most recent album. Also, you know, the husband of Beyonce, which is the most important part of this equation, has allegedly been offered to perform for the Super Bowl halftime in this year of 2018 approaching us. And
Super Bowl 52.
And in response to this alleged request for his presence as the performer, he has declined because white people are the worst. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding about that. But he's declined in solidarity of our boy Colin, who, as we said earlier in the show, got blackballed from his profession, from what he... Because you don't get in the NFL if you haven't spent your whole life just trying to get to the NFL. And you don't even get into the NFL even if you have spent your whole life trying to get to the NFL. And then to stand up for yourself and for your people, get dropped and not get let back in. This is a reminder that the only people here for black people are black people. And unfortunately, even sometimes I say that in an excited way sometimes right now, but as I saw from a friend's post on Facebook this past week, that for black women, the only people there for black women are black women.
Oh, 100.
But that's another conversation for another day. But it's great that that is being said. Again, all of this stuff is supposedly alleged, but it really wouldn't surprise me, as the Knowles Carter family has been very unabashedly outspoken about how they feel about everything.
Mm.
So that's great. And that's really all I have to say about that.
Yeah. I feel like it's gonna be... who's doing it? Justin Timberlake? Of course Justin Timberlake took the slot.
Hashtag problematic fave.
Yep.
We all have them.
We all have them. But he's not even cute anymore.
Agree to disagree.
I was just repeating what you were saying to me earlier. So
I didn't say Justin Timberlake isn't cute.
No.
I never said that.
I know you did not say that.
Because he's white. Yeah, I don't be looking at white people. If I didn't know you before 2 years ago, I know Justin Timberlake before 2 years ago. I've known yes. Justin Timberlake for a long
time. He was on my wall. Time. Like,
he was on my wall, in my heart, on my mind.
I was convinced I was going to marry him when I was 11 whatever.
You know, this is a good, I'm glad you said that. This is a good conversation to talk about with my therapist. I never saw myself ever even marrying my faves.
Oh, really?
Because I was like, ew, why would they ever like me?
Mm. No, I've always been issues. Crazy where I have these dreams where it's very real that they love me. Then I know that they love me and I just have to figure out a way to get to them. That is how my brain has always gone with crushes. Hence Donald Glover's on my list. Oh, I guess that's the John.
Yeah, that was a long John.
Long John Silvers. Old Long Johnson. Fucking love that cat. So yeah, let me go into You Better Work. So I had a breakthrough in therapy where I finally said how unhappy I am. How unhappy I have been since the move, since starting the new job, since making this big transition. And it was the first time I'd ever said it out loud that I was truly unhappy. It's not like there's things that aren't good. Lots of great things have happened in this move. This has been a great opportunity. I love the mountains. I like that I get to hike. But when I stack up the bad with the good and just some of like, and just the reality of a transition like this, I'm unhappy. And I haven't been real about that. You know, I like to focus in on the mountains. I like to focus in on the fun things that I've got to do. And it made me really think about like how often you lie to yourself about how unhappy you are and how you're afraid to truly accept it. Like you might say I'm depressed. You might say you're unhappy in a particular situation, but to truly say that you're not happy with the situation that you're in right now, full stop, is scary. It's hard. And now it puts it on me on how do I want to change that? What am I going to do to make myself less unhappy? To get myself to being less unhappy. And when, so something that I've been working with my therapist is just sort of like figuring it out. What are those things that would make you less unhappy? And my therapist even said to me, what if you just moved back to Philly? And I was like, well, yeah, that would be like great. I'd be close to my support system. I would be closer to my family. I'll be close to all my friends. Like, yeah, that would be great. Can that happen tomorrow? No. Does it help me in the right now? No. Does it create more things that I'm stressed out about? Like, oh, let's create a new job search. Let's find a house in Philly again. Like, all those things. But she did put it, in that, like, that reality check of, like, I can't change my situation if I'm truly unhappy with it. And that we do have that many of us do. And I'm not even going to say everyone has the ability to change their situation that they're unhappy in. But recognizing that I can make changes to soothe this feeling is something now that I have to think about. Because, like, me not saying I'm unhappy, me denying the fact that I'm unhappy in many ways was me trying to prove that I'm not a failure. Me trying to prove to everyone that knew me before this move that I made the right, that I didn't make the wrong decision. And I'm not saying I made the wrong decision, I just made a decision and it didn't end up, I'm not in that euphoric place that I thought I would be by now. But again, that's again also mitigating expectations. Also being real that you don't just pop, like, big transitions, you know, going to college wasn't hard for me. Moving to Philadelphia after college was a little bit of a hard adjustment because it was, you know, the Great Recession. It was hard to get a job, shit like that. But, like, it wasn't, like, emotionally hard for me consistently. It's letting me know that, like, you know, as you get older, moving is a trauma. Recognizing that that is a trauma. And really trying to make active steps to try to make it better. Because, again, if I wanted to move, it won't be tomorrow. Like, if I was going to move back to the East Coast, if I'm going to make that decision to move back to the East Coast at some point, it would take a while for it to happen. Like, full stop. Like, my partner's going to school. They're not going to be done with school until April. Like, but, like, I have to mitigate what is wrong. And, like, therapy is helping. The tools that I'm getting from therapy is helping. I've been really trying to remind myself and put the habit back of reaching out to my support network that's in the East Coast and making sure I keep strong relationships with them, because when those are slipping, I start to slip. Oh, like, remembering, like, and I'm just so bad at it. I'm bad at keeping up with people. And we all say that we're bad at keeping up with people. And it's more about not wanting to do the work.
Lazy.
It's so easy not to. But there's major repercussions when you don't. I'm coming from the place of, like, I'm feeling the repercussions of not doing those things. So, yeah, I'm unhappy, but I'm trying to fix it. I'm working through it.
I'm proud of you for going to therapy and
thank you
trying, which is really, like, people say trying is half the battle. It's, I think, all the trying battle. Is, yeah. Like, once you try, you just keep, like, our personalities is, like, if we, like, really, like, drag our lazy selves to do the full thing, full out, then we end up moving across the country.
Yeah. I said I was unhappy at my job, and I got a new job, went across the country.
Full out. You said who you were going to work for, and for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And you did it, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and I think that's a mixture of my unhappiness, is that I don't have that new goal that new hunger. And, like, you know, the diagnosis that happened made me rethink everything. So it's like, I came in with, like, goals of, like, moving forward at my job. But then when your life completely changes, you start to rethink, like, well, was that really what I've always wanted to do? And so I've been rethinking about, like, how does this really fit in to what I thought my life plan would be? And it's like, and it doesn't mean that I need to blow up everything and that everything that I've done this far is wrong, but it's just sort of like, how does it fit? And what do I want my tomorrow to be? What do I really want my days to be like? Putting it into the place of, like, you know, my illness might progress to a place where I can't do everything. So how about I put myself in a situation where it's not a big deal?
Yeah.
Or it's less of a big deal. I guess I'm challenging everyone. Like, are you truly happy? And why? And what are the things that are making you not be honest about that? And it, and like my things are, I don't want to be wrong. And who, like, and it's you're, and you're not wrong. If whatever decision you made has made you unhappy now.
Yeah. That's a constant. I'm constantly checking that. And we all should be. We should all constantly check it.
I mean, yeah.
Speaking of check it, what a beautiful segue. A beautiful segue. My check it is interesting because I'm not, for the most part, with most of the things I'm doing, like my two main jobs, I'm not unhappy. I am learning a lot in both jobs. Being given complete autonomy in both jobs, learning more about how I manage myself, which I struggle with some days, and other days I'm really great with. Depends on my sleep, depends on my stress level, as it does with everyone. But haven't been really taking care of myself, which I think is a huge reason why I got sick and was literally forced to slow down because it's hot and I'm sick and I can't breathe and I need rest and I need water and I need to say no to something and I need to give up something and refocus. And I think I've said this before, of like going from not having a job to like having two jobs. I felt the need to say yes to everything because I didn't feel like I was doing enough for so long. And I've spent so much of my life glorifying being busy. Which is interesting that I find myself in this predicament because I was doing such a good job of not making sure that's not what happened, because I don't glorify being busy in the same way that I used to. Being unemployed forced me to slow down, and if anything, I learned more about how much I enjoy slowing down, like to the point where I took the Myers-Briggs test again the other day. just to see, just for curiosity's sake. And I told my boss about it, because I did apparently, like, a switch that, like, a lot of people don't normally do. I went from an ENFJ to an INFJ.
Whoa.
And I'm really not, like, if you ask me about myself, I'm not surprised.
Mm-hmm.
The older I get, the more introverted I am. Whether it's because I know that I don't need to be everywhere all the time. Mm-hmm. That I know the most important places to be. And the places where it would be okay to not go. It's not going to benefit me. It's not going to feed me in a way. Or I'm not going to benefit someone else in a way by my presence being there. Also, I think with this assumption that extroverts have, like, endless energy. And that they can keep on going and they are perfectly fine constantly being around people all the time. And I've literally never been that type of extrovert. Ever. Like, you could even ask my mother, like, I would, you know, go to school and do theater and do cheerleading and always have practice or rehearsal. But when I would go home, I would go straight to my room and, like, not talk to people. Because I desperately needed to recharge. And the older I get, the more I need to recharge. Because the more that I'm around people during the day, the even more energy that they take from me. So I'm really not that surprised that I made that switch.
I just can't believe you did that EI switch.
Yeah. I told a couple people and they were like, nobody ever does that. And I was like, I don't know that that's true. Also, it depends on the Myers-Briggs test you take. If you take the really, if you take the really, like, the fleshed big one? Out one, they give you percentages of everything you were. Mm-hmm. So I was never.
You're never full.
Yeah, I was never, like, over 70% in E. There was always, like, a 60-40, 70-30. Yeah. So, like, that shift, in retrospect, is not that big of a shift. But that makes me think about even more how much I'm taking care of myself. If I feel myself, I think, appropriately folding more inward and being even more conscious of when I do expend my extroverted energy. And now I have little signs of, like, when I'm taking care of myself and when I'm not. And, like, one thing I always take care of is, like, my toes. Like, my toes are always, like, I always keep my feet, like, scrubbed down, like, toes done, like, no calluses, like, feet lotion, smooth, looking nice, because I don't like feet, because most feet are gross, so I keep my feet really nice.
Keep them tight.
And I looked down this weekend as I felt myself getting sick, and I hadn't been taking care of my feet the way I normally do. And I was like, you're not taking care of yourself. At all. Or, like, stressing out about what to pack for lunch. And I'm like, why don't I have anything made? And it's because I haven't been taking time on Sundays. Because I haven't been taking time. And I haven't been taking care of myself. So, like, here I am now, sick. My toes are done. I've been able to pack my lunch. But it was without my body. And getting, like, a physical response to me not taking care of myself, that I had to get back on track. And your body will do that. And it sucks. And now I sound like a toad. And I felt really bad for a couple days. And it's made me more conscious, and I've said no to a few things now, like I wanted to anyway. And now I'm doing that, but, like, also I'm flustered because I have things. I'm going to New York this weekend and, like, want to make sure that I'm even better because I'm going to Colorado next weekend to visit you.
Me!
To visit Brittany. So, like, I gotta make sure my chest is clear and I can breathe so I can go hiking.
Yeah, so you don't die on these mountains.
So, like, I think I'll be better by then, but, like, even just the thought, I'm like, this is your own fault if you had just taken care of yourself. So, like, watch your body, y'all. Like, if you're not watching your mind, your body will punch you in the gut and remind you in some way.
Yeah, or your mind. I haven't been taking care of myself, and my mind is broken from that.
Like, yeah, they go hand in hand.
And they do.
So that's my check it. It's like, check both of those things. Because if you don't, one will be sure to kick your ass and make you check it. And no one wants to be reactive. We'd all rather be proactive.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. In terms of ourselves and our body, we want to be proactive.
Because it's harder when you're reactive.
Yeah. Because you don't even know what... If you're proactive, you don't have to, like... You don't know what shit you're about to have to react to. So if you're proactive, it's like, I ain't got to worry about it.
Yeah, you're stopping it from happening. You know, that's, like, the whole thing of, like, preventative medicine, you know, being on top of things. Because, again, like, when you have to go backwards, like, when you have to heal, when you have to, like, do full healing, it takes so much more time than you think.
It's harder to stop and restart than to check as you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that's my check it.
I'm a big proponent of, like, if you believe in Myers-Briggs, which not, you know, people don't, some people do. Like, if you think that works for you, like, doing it every once in a while, like, redoing it, because, like, I'm really intrigued now, like, to check. Because I know it's going to be different, because I'm in a mentally completely different place the last time I took it. I took it when I first started my... Like, last time I took it when I started my job, because everyone at my job has to do it, I got... I was on the cusp of ENFJ and ENTJ. And they're like, you can flip between the two of these, you know? And I was like, yeah, when I'm more emotional, I'm ENFJ. And when I don't give a damn about people and what it's about getting shit done, I'm ENTJ. But shit, I would not be surprised if my shit's all kinds of eyes and perceiving now and other bullshit, like, because like I don't know, I feel very different. I interact very different with people. You'll see when you come.
Yeah, I had someone comment on the fact that I was a J, and I was like, I'm a J usually by force of, like, I'm fine with going with the flow, but y'all motherfuckers can never decide anything, and I ain't getting stuck doing some stupid shit or getting stuck getting the back burner. So, yeah, J, because I'm about to decide, so I make sure I don't get shat on.
I mean, I think that all black people have to be J's. We gotta be judging all these fools. We gotta know.
What's the best for me?
We gotta evaluate and see. You know, you can't be as perceptive when you have to be on guard.
Right.
Right? You're up here. Ready for whatever blow that's gonna come at you.
25-8.
Oh.
thank you for your check-in. I think it was really great.
Thanks. Thank this sinus infection.
For bringing it on.
Yeah. Ugh.
So, thank you for not caring for yourself so you can be so perceptive right now.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Sacrifices I make just for black girls laughing. I was like, what would be a good segment talking about your body and how it reacts to you not taking care of yourself? I should totally get a sinus infection to
make
this.
Myself sick so I can do this.
Yes. Perfect. Anyway.
We're skipping anxiety corner because hear us talk about 45 for like 15 minutes already? Like,
yeah.
He doesn't need any more time.
No, he gets no more airtime. But we do have a throwback jam.
What's the jam?
Thanks, Cardi B, for throwing in a line from an absolute banger of the millennium by Freak Nasty, which is an awful name, but sure. And their hit song, Da Dip. I put my hand up on your hip. When I dip, you dip, we dip. We put your hand up on my hip. When you dip, I dip, we dip. I put my hand up on your hip. When I dip, you dip, we dip. I put yours and I put mine. I have actually never learned that part because I sang that song as a child. Often, that song and the Tootsie Roll were like my two favorites.
I just remember being at family, at not family, but at like my parents would have a party or we'd be at a party and everyone else has kids too. And it would be like the Tootsie Roll butterfly dance off between the 6-year-olds.
Dear Lord.
And it's like, which kid is better at this?
Yeah. Put their. I always was like, this song sounds like a relatively happy jam, but when you think about what they're like singing about, I don't know. It's like one of those things where it's like, it sounds happy, the music video is happy, but like if you played it in a song, it would not be as like a attempt at PG-13. Also, I've never seen this music video before. What is happening?
Yeah, I like the video. I saw a little clip of that. I was just like looking up Freak Nasty and I was like, what other songs do you have?
I think they're one hit wonders.
They got other albums. They have a, you know, Freak Nasty the Dip was 1997. Which Way Is Up was in 2000. Freak Nasty World in 2002.
But were those hits? I'm talking hits.
These are just albums. They don't have no hits.
They're one hit wonders.
No, I mean they it wasn't even a, but they can't even be a one hit wonder because it wasn't number one. It only got to number 15.
I don't care. That song is a hit.
But they had a song that went to number 45.
Yikes.
Called Do It Just Like a Rock Star.
That sounds
in 2007.
Shitty.
I have no idea. I don't know that song.
I know is Party Like a Rock Star.
I cannot tell you how it
do
goes.
Do It Just Like a Rock Star. I'm watching this Da Dip music video. This is wild. But we should keep talking and move on before we get sucked into music videos for like the next millennium. But Throwback Jam, 1997's only, I guess, number 15 hit, Da Dip by Freak Nasty. Anyways, we should move on to Giggle Cackle Roar.
Okay. Let's do it. Let's giggle, let's cackle, and let's roar.
Roar. So I have a giggle.
Do it.
And my giggle is at the D challenge going around the internet. And it's specifically at Issa Rae and Regina Hall doing the D challenge. It's beautiful. It's hysterical. Issa takes a crack at 45 and North Korea and HBO. And I just love it. I just love it.
Yeah.
So that's my giggle. Short, sweet, to the point. Y'all should watch it. We'll retweet it.
My cackle is for Kim Jong-un and his clapback against 45 for calling him Rocket Man. He called him a dotard, which everyone else has been saying dotard,
which is great.
So beautiful. So great. This one guy that I watch, I always talk about Larry O'Donnell, the old white man that I like to watch at MSNBC, because I love it when he gets a cackle, like a circle of old white men to just shit on 45 for like 15 minutes, and it's just funny to watch them all foam at the mouth, but not really do anything about it, but like it just makes me laugh. But yeah, he called him a dotard because Trump is just popping off at the mouth in front of the whole entire world, calling him Rocket Man, threatening to destroy North Korea. So he comes back like, you're not even acting like a president. Like, no one else has ever said anything like this. Like, when the man who is shooting out missiles over Japan is letting us know, is saying what we all think about our president, we have a problem. But I love that he called him a dotard. I love what the translation, and that was like people like frantically trying to make a translation for what he said. But if you like directly translate the Korean into English, it is, he actually called him a old beast lunatic.
It just sounds accurate.
Best read of 45 ever. So I was for that. I'm scared shitless about what could happen, but I do get the good feelings that I could call 45 an old beast lunatic. Like, that makes me all, like, I'm all right with that. Like, that should be, like, everyone should just tweet at him, "Shut up, you old beast lunatic." Like, that's what everyone should say. If he talks about the NFL again, "Shut up, you old beast lunatic." when he starts just like going off on his tangents about how he won and how Russia hasn't really done anything, or he starts calling Hillary Clinton a whiner and all this stuff, just say, "Shut up, old beast lunatic."
Shut up, you old. I really wanted it to be "you old beef lunatic." I really wanted it to be beef.
Beef.
I really wanted it to be a beef lunatic.
I
still might use it.
It's just like of biblical proportions. Like it's like a biblical type of read. Like, I feel like "old beast lunatic" is like written somewhere in the book of Revelation. Like, and he is it. He is the old beast lunatic.
I'm so mad. I can't even laugh properly. I'm so upset.
So I'm just here for it. Like, thank you, Kim Jong-un.
You old beef lunatic.
Because I'm not even gonna call him 45 anymore. He's just that old beast lunatic. You know him. He's back at it again with the dumb tweets. Back at it again with the racism. That old beast lunatic.
Beast lunatic. I only know a beef lunatic.
I mean, he does. I don't know. He does like fast food a lot. So.
Does he?
Yeah, that's why they call him like the working class president, because he will be sitting on Air Force One eating a Big Mac.
Ew. Get you some filet mignon, you uncultured swine.
No, he loves it. As much as he loves to watch TV, he loves to eat his fast food. And you know, whatever. People eat your fast food if you want to eat your fast food, but I shame you. 45.
Specifically. No. Just you only
old
you.
Beast lunatic, stop it with the McDonald's. Eat it.
You
eat
old
a
beef
damn,
lunatic.
Eat a damn salad. We
You're literally eating old beef.
Like you have like we've watched you balloon. And you have the nerve to talk about women and their bodies.
Well, yeah. I mean,
men could be
white
any
men
shape
are allowed to look.
Yeah.
And still get supermodels. So. Mm-hmm. Anyway, goodbye to the beef lunatic. And that was the show.
Yay! Woo! We did a show. It's really long.
It is long and beautiful and fun. So, as always, as my voice goes out, I'm going to do this really quick. You can find us on the internet, on our website, blackgirlslaughing.com. You can send us an email, blackgirlslaughing@gmail.com. You can tweet us at BOKGirlsLaughing with no G. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/blackgirlslaughing. And you can find us at our personal Instagrams. Mine is at B Knightley.
And I'm at Bree Hines. Maybe I'll start to be on Instagram again after I get out of it, since I've... Yeah, maybe. Maybe you'll see me.
Yeah, I haven't been posting too often either. But I'm about to have a bunch of photos from New York and Colorado, so...
Yeah, I have all these really good photos I want to post on there that from when Will was here. I haven't posted.
I saw him on Facebook, so...
Yeah.
But, you know, find us on iTunes, hopefully. Full episode.
We better. There'll be some fighting happening.
Like, share, subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
As always.
Do all that stuff. Tell a friend.
Yes. Please. Tell a friend to hang out with your other friends. Make your friends hang out.
Woo.
With us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're clearly tired. Bye, y'all.
Yeah. Come on.